Wisconsin is home to hundreds of Christmas tree farms, and the good news is that the harvest was bountiful. Tree sales are brisk. We'll take it as a little economic bright spot. Have you visited a tree farm? Where did you go? What type of tree did you pick? Did you switch from artificial to real this year? And why? Conversation right here is at 800-642-1234. Greg Han owns a tree farm in Oregon. He is on the board of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. Greg, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you? How's business?
Oh, it is steady and very strong. Very fortunate this year with all of the COVID going on. I think more people have wanted to just get out of the house and get their houses decorated early. And we've seen it all the way across, starting with the nursery and greenhouses in the spring. And it's continued all the way through this Christmas season.
What is your stock like? What has the harvest been like?
It's been phenomenal. It's been earlier than normal. So it's starting to have a little bit less supply because of that. So we've seen, like you said, very brisk sales starting even the weekend before Thanksgiving, which is not very common. And we've had a really strong Thanksgiving weekend, and some of the smaller tree lots are closing probably after this weekend. It's been that strong that quickly.
Wow. Wow. What do you think is driving that demand for real trees, fresh cut trees this year?
I think it's really this just the charm and the memories that are around a live tree. A lot of people have asked me that, and I don't think it's specifically a live tree. I think it's all of the things that go along with getting a live tree that people fantasize and romance about, you know, all the Hallmark movies give us. Mm-hmm. It's the time that we can get in the car together as a family, which there's not many activities right now you can do that. You go out, you walk around the woods where you feel that it's safe and you're out in fresh air, and then the family all gets to choose a tree, maybe even have a little conflict and spark up your emotions a little bit from the mundane. And then you talk about where we're going to put the tree. You talk, you know, it's all of those family, all those family moments that you have together, and top it off with maybe hot chocolate or cider afterwards. So I just think it's all of those memories and all those good feelings that you have that come with cutting a live tree.
Oh, it's so good for our soul right now, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What you mentioned it being a safe activity. What safety precautions are you taking to keep customers, you know, spread out and safe in the pandemic?
Right. For me specifically, there are outside pay-in areas that we built so that people don't even have to go into the store. Statewide, some of the growers have just closed their stores altogether and done all the business outside. I never thought I'd see something in my entire life, and we have a saw sanitizing station.
Wow.
Think about you touch the saw, and then another customer touches the saw. So we have a table where you lay your saw and you spray it with alcohol and let it dry, and then so the saws get sanitized. A lot of things, you know, the typical touch points that all the businesses are doing with hand sanitizer and so we're trying to do everything that we can to make everybody safe also.
Saws have never been so clean in your career.
I know. I was saying, and clippers, too. We do wreath making, and the clippers have never been so clean because those get dropped in ammonia buckets every night, too. So,
tell us about your wreaths. What are you doing there?
Wreath production, we have always done wholesale wreath production. We do roughly about 5,000 wreaths. The nice part about wreath production this year, and also I noticed you mentioned in your teaser coming up to talking to me about the economy that Christmas trees create. We're number 5 in the nation. Very fortunate this year to have the tree industry in Wisconsin. I've never hired so many waitresses and cook staff and that kind of thing. We're so fortunate Wisconsin has Christmas trees because we really hired some of those people that needed a just a little bit more paycheck. You know, they were working 25% only at their restaurants, and we had this seasonal job that I could bring them in, and they're fantastic workers, hard workers, want to earn money, and it's been very good with the COVID, a good marriage to have that here in Wisconsin and be able to hire those people.
Greg Han, he owns a Christmas tree farm in Oregon. He's our guide to fresh-cut trees in Wisconsin. Are you a Christmas tree grower, or do you work for a tree farm seasonally? How's business been? Is picking out a tree a family tradition? How do you choose? Share with us, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Greg Han back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Christmas tree growers are reporting a healthy demand for fresh-cut trees, and they're paying it forward. Earlier this week, dozens of tree growers met up at Lambeau Field. Wisconsin State Farmer reports the growers donated about 850 Christmas trees to the Trees for Troops program. Do you have a fresh-cut tree? Are you delivering one to someone who can't get one this year? What can you share? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have tree farm owner Greg Han from Oregon, who is with us, and he's our guide. Let's bring in Tim now in Fall Creek. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment of buying a real tree is something new. We haven't been able to go and do something and purchase something like a Christmas tree during, since the real pandemic hit in March. So going to, one of the big box stores and getting an artificial tree versus throwing the whole family in the old structure and heading out and maybe cut down that tree and be able to talk to people that you don't normally see outside and haul that thing down. Plus, with kids at home from school, depending on what type of learning you're doing at school, we added one more task to the list. So your schoolwork's done. Oh, hey, go put some water in the tree. Turn the tree so it's straight. That's a constant battle, right? So just wanted to bring up those types of experiences as it's something unique and new and different that we haven't been able to do for a while.
That's right. As Tim is saying there, that there are so many things that have been taken away in this pandemic, but being able to do this ritual is still possible, Greg.
Yep, that's right. And keep that tree watered. That's perfect advice right there. As people got them a little bit earlier, we want to make sure that we can keep them as fresh as possible.
Yeah. What are there some tips that you have for us to keep that tree from not losing its needles so quickly?
Well, have a tree stand that holds at least a gallon of water. And some people, it might be a little bit too late, but just think about that as you're trying to refill it every 4 or 5 hours. If you get a fresh tree, it could drink up to a gallon of water a day, which is quite a bit. The other thing is the industry has quite a few tree preservatives on there. It's kind of like when you cut your fresh flowers, they give you that little packet nowadays.
Yep.
We sell a product called Forest Fresh at ours. There's other ones that you can find. Ours is an easy tablet that they put in. But it does actually, most of them work. You can do your own research on it, but sometimes that works. I really try to shy people away from the old wives' tales, about putting an aspirin in or a teaspoon of sugar stuff. I always joke and say, use the sugar to make an old-fashioned and the aspirin for the morning after.
How much should you cut off the tree to get a fresh cut from the kids are saying, no, keep it tall, but you got to cut it down a little bit. How far should you cut it?
We usually try to tell people 1 to 2 inches.
Okay.
a lot of the lots nowadays, lots or even tree farms, if you get a pre-cut tree, they're doing it there for you. In colder weather, that should be fine if you're getting it up within that same day. What that fresh cut does is, just like you cut a branch off a tree, you see that sap starting to form right away. Well, when the tree is cut, that sap starts forming on the bottom, and then the tree is hauled or, you know, moved away. And then you need to make that other fresh cut to make sure that that sap that has kind of scabbed over isn't there anymore.
Hey, we only have a couple seconds left, but Trees for Troops, that was a really great cause.
Trees for Troops has been going on for a long time. The growers in the nation come together, and we send trees to the bases. And we've talked about that feel good the whole morning, Kate. And now this is a perfect way that we give back. Those people are in bases, and it's just nice. They get that live tree and a little bit of a taste of home when they can't be there.
Well, Greg, great to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for supporting live trees. It's a great thing in Wisconsin.
Greg Han is owner of Han's Christmas Tree Farm in Oregon. Coming up, what will Congress do about student borrowers as the pandemic pause and student loan payments could end December 31st? Will your student loan payments resume in January? We'll talk about it with a reporter from Politico. News update is next on the Ideas Network. Deferral programs for pausing student loan payments was part of the CARES Act in March. Deferrals were granted automatically on federal student loans, no interest. That is through December 31st. And then what? Tens of millions of borrowers are asking that question, wondering what the heck Congress or the president will do. Are your student loans in deferral? How do you feel about student loan forgiveness? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Michael Stratford is a reporter for Politico, where he covers education, student loan policy, and higher ed. Michael, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So what is the current situation for federal student loan borrowers? What is happening?
So as you mentioned, there are about 41 million Americans with federal student loans who have been benefiting since March from a freeze in their monthly payments and a interest waiver, 0% interest on their loans. And that was pandemic relief that Congress first provided in the CARES Act in March at the beginning of the pandemic, and that President Trump extended further over the summer. We're now facing a looming expiration of that relief. It's currently set to expire on December 31st. And payments will start to come due early next year unless President Trump or Congress takes action to stop it.
Has the Department of Education given any signs, any signals, anything from the smokestacks about what might be coming?
So the Trump administration has not committed either way to continuing the pause on payments on their way out of office. We reported this week that the Education Department sent some notices or sent some instructions to the private companies that it hires to manage federal student loans, saying to hold off on sending bills to borrowers next, which is a potential sign that the department might be may not be gearing up to collect student loan payments on January 1st, as was expected. But we still really don't have much clarity on what's going to happen once this relief expires on December 31st.
Congressional leaders have been trying to hash out the next stimulus. Are these benefits carried on in any of those stimulus packages that are on the table?
Yeah, so this has been an issue in congressional talks for some time over another round of relief for some time. The proposal released this week by a bipartisan group of centrist senators, that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, have endorsed as a framework for talks. That proposal would include some extension of the student loan relief. But other proposals, for instance, the one released this week, which was a revised version of a previous proposal by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, would not continue the relief.
So remind us also which loans qualified for this deferral.
So it's federal student loans, which are the vast majority of student loan debt that's outstanding. And it's federal student loans that are directly held by the Education Department. There's a subset of student loans that are guaranteed by the federal government, but held by private lenders or by the borrower's school, college.
Mm-hmm.
Those loans were left out of the CARES Act and are not eligible. That affects about 8 million borrowers. But the vast majority of federal student loans, covering about 41 million Americans, is covered by this relief.
I'm going to reintroduce you here. Michael Stratford is a reporter with Politico, where he covers education, student loan policy, and higher ed. And we're looking at what happens when the pausing of student loan payments is stopped and payments are resumed at the beginning of January. You can join in if you're in this situation, 800-642-1234. Cindy in Appleton is with us. Hi, Cindy. What would you like to say?
Well, I would just like to say that I don't think loans should be forgiven, because these are students. They need to understand that when you borrow money, there are consequences to it, and it's called having to be paid back. But I do think the interest rate should be like 0.5%, and there should be many different payment options so that people are not strapped with these payments where they can't do anything else. So there needs to be options, but I do think they do need to be paid back.
Cindy, thanks. You know, this has been a real contentious issue, Michael, about student loan forgiveness. And even at a Senate hearing this week, Senator Elizabeth Warren made the case for canceling student debt. What do you see?
Yeah, so this conversation about the pause on federal student loan payments is happening, as you point out and your caller points out, against this broader backdrop and debate over whether President-elect Joe Biden, once he takes office, should use executive action to cancel or forgive some amount of student loan debt. During the campaign, he committed to canceling as much as $10,000 per borrower as a pandemic relief measure, as an economic stimulus measure. That's something that's being pushed very hard by progressives and many Democrats on Capitol Hill, including, as you mentioned, Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer. But as your caller alluded to, that is not a view shared by everyone. And there are some more centrist Democrats who think it would be an ineffective stimulus measure or not fair or cost too much. So that is something that the Biden administration is going to have to make a decision about shortly after they take office in January.
Let's bring in Zach in Richland Center. Hi, Zach.
Hi there. My comment is that, you know, me and my wife both went to 4-year universities, and I didn't end up graduating, ended up dropping out, but I still have about $9,000 in student loan debt that I had to pay back. My wife had about $13,000. We're both 27, and, you know, we both worked really hard after school to, you know, I paid off my debts and she'd paid off hers, and it probably cost a few years for me to buy a house, but you know, we paid our debts back. I don't think it's fair to forgive everyone else's loans if people have already paid that back.
Zach, thank you for bringing your personal situation to this. And Michael, there again is that situation where, you know, Zach, they paid back their loans in good faith. And it's, you know, certainly a fairness issue. But Zach also mentioned putting off buying a home because this certainly does impact the economy.
That's right. And one of the arguments made by advocates for debt relief is that student loan debt is is dragging down parts of the economy, being able to buy a house, for instance. They also point, there's a growing argument from progressives that this is contributing to the racial wealth gap in this country, that Black and brown student loan borrowers take out more debt to go to college and disproportionately struggle on the back end to repay that debt, and that canceling some amount of that debt would help alleviate or have mitigate the racial wealth gap in this country.
I want to ask you about employers. How can a borrower's employer help in this situation? Are there programs that might they be able to take advantage of from their work?
There is a small but growing number of employers who are offering student loan repayment as a benefit. Congress earlier this year made it a little easier for employers to contribute tax-free to the loan payments of their employees. In the same way, you get your employer can contribute tax-free to your retirement account. So that's a growing, but as I said, a small number of employers, and of course, it's predicated on getting the relief and the help is predicated on you having a job and an employer who's willing to do that, and that's a small number of employers and disproportionately corporate employers.
Yeah, so if no action is taken by either Congress or the president in the next few days, what options do borrowers have, especially if they've lost work or are under extreme financial stress and can't resume those loans in January?
So federal student loan borrowers have a few options if payments resume. There are federal income-based repayment programs where the monthly payment is tied to the borrower's income. And if your income is low enough or is zero, your payment could also be zero. So that's an option that borrowers could ask their loan servicers about enrolling in. And there are also deferment options for economic distress.
So it sounds like you really, though, need to do your homework and to keep up with what is actually happening in Congress.
That's right. And if the relief that we've been under since March is automatic, but if it expires and borrowers are experiencing problems, they need to proactively reach out to their loan servicer to obtain some of those benefits.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Nice speaking with you. Thanks.
Michael Stratford is a reporter for Politico, where he covers education, student loan policy, and higher ed. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.